Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Civitas On Air podcast, where we bring to you informed debate and discussion. This podcast is part of an EU-funded Jean Monnet module, Debut, Debating Europe, Internal and External Dynamics of European Integration at Collegium Civitas.
Hello everyone, we are students of Collegium Civitas and today I welcome you to our podcast on populism and the far right in Europe. My name is Anna Tabada and me I have the brilliant speakers such as Milana Bagdasarian and Kadir Alp Topbaz.
Hello.
Hi everyone.
So today the experts will debate on the topic the fall of democracy in Italy, rise of the new Mussolini, the new Prime Minister of Italy as the first woman to hold such a high position in the government, as well as the reasons for her electoral success. So now I'm going to give a little background of Giorgia Meloni, as the fact that she joined the Italian social movement, as abbreviation MSI, when she was a teenager, a right-wing party founded by supporters of Benito Mussolini. Meloni was a member of the MSI student wing Youth Action when the party rebranded itself as the National Alliance in 1994. In 2007, the National Alliance and Berlusconi's Forza Italia formalized their coalition under the banner of the People of Freedom, and the PDL, which is Popolo della Libertà, swept to power in April 2008 in snap elections. Meloni was assigned the youth portfolio in Berlusconi's cabinet, making her the youngest minister in post-war Italian political history at the age of 31. Giorgia Meloni was elected on October 22, 2022, holding a large number of supporters. The extreme right won the elections primarily as a result of the economic crisis that occurred while the left was in the power. So now, listeners, let's turn our discussion today to my very first question. Why did the Italians vote for Meloni? Please, Milana.
I think we should take into consideration that turnout fell to a record low of 64%, and voting levels were especially poor in southern regions, including Sicily. So it shows us basically how people are distancing themselves from currently existing political parties. And the right-wing alliance won the elections with 26% of the vote. Meloni's right-wing alliance took control of both in the Senate and the Chamber of Deputies with approximately 44% of the vote. Their big advantage, however, was that they were able to put up on a unified candidate in constituency. Their opponents in the left and center could not agree on a common position and common grounds, and they stood separately. Plus, unkept promises to the Italian citizens played a huge role on that. So what's your perspective on that, Tobas?
First of all, I'd like to underline that Meloni is going to be a first woman and the first far-right prime minister in a history, which is not really common from the woman become a prime minister from the far right. It's really shocking me, and it's well success in my idea. And secondly, she's getting elected by the common Italian citizen, which she understand them basically and their basic needs. She's the only Italian candidate can able to solve their problems, which understand them very well. Also, I like to talk about the reason people get in on politics and don't support to go to elections. There was must be a reason. Maybe they couldn't find the opponent so strong, or maybe they tried them before, which is not the answer for them. And thank you for the question.
Okay, that was great. Thank you so much, both of you. I think it was a pretty great question with amazing answers. So now we are going to our second question, which is, what is Meloni's relationship with fascism? And I would like to start with Kadir Alp, please.
Oh, fascism I don't think this Mussolini like the fascism exists nowadays. This mentality already dies. Nothing more than the black propaganda coming from the opposite party, I mean the left wings. Well, I understand in the politics such kind of stuff, like, yes, it still exists, but I don't believe Meloni has any relationship with a Mussolini time. She's already explained herself to the Italian citizens. It's not existing anymore. She's also against the Russia aggression. It's just my personal idea. I don't think it still exists.
Unfortunately, I would not agree with Kadyrov. What would you say about the Brothers of Italy? Because it was a dissident of the Italian social movement that was established during Benito Mussolini dictatorship. And Italian social movement morphed later into National Alliance, whose young movement was led by Meloni before the party was dissolved and she went to the on the found of Brothers of Italy. What would you say about that?
Well, she's returned back to the party. It doesn't mean she's returned back to this ideology. This ideology doesn't exist nowadays. It cannot be returned.
Okay, but what about Brothers of Italy? If we would look at it, we could see huge similarities. For example, tricolored flame in its official logo and its headquarters at the same address. What would you say about that? Is it a coincidence? Or is it still a continuously continuation of Italian social movement that now transformed into Brothers of Italy?
I can't reject the similarities, but on the other hand, it's hard to call someone a Mussolini.
Okay, fair enough. I accept your point. It's pretty interesting. Thank you. It's
definitely hard to become a Mussolini.
Okay, I think it was a pretty great discussion. We all could see that both of you have very different perspectives, but both of them very good argumented, and I would like to thank you both for it. So now we are going to our third question, which is, what are going to be Meloni's likely priorities and focuses in the coming months? Please, Milana.
So basically, the right-wing coalition wants to curb migration, and of course, it's against abortion and same-sex marriages, and it promotes traditional Christian family values, as it's not surprising. And Meloni presented a programmatic manifesto, and for years, Giorgia Meloni has railed against Italy's migration policies, calling them overly lenient and saying that they risk turning the country into the refugee camp of Europe. This manifesto talks about blocking migrant boats and creating so-called hotspots in African countries to process asylum requests, working together with African authorities and, of course, the European Union. She has long made it clear that halting the flow of people across the Mediterranean is one of her top priorities. And in its manifesto, the First Wing Coalition promises, among other things, tax cuts, higher pensions, and more options for early retreatment, more support for families with children, and to improve active labor market policies, while ending the citizens' income social welfare system, because from Meloni's perspective, it's a total failure. She also pledged the country's strong commitment to NATO and efforts to end Russia's invasion of Ukraine. As she spoke, the words of Meloni, given our principal challenge today, Italy strongly supports the territorial integrity, sovereignty, and freedom of Ukraine. Italy spent hundreds of millions of euros on humanitarian and financial support for Ukraine. Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to start from the migration situation. There's a difference between a migration and irregular migration, which Italy opened their arms for the migration. For example, in Ukraine, when they come in following the procedure, Italy, okay. Meloni is also okay, but when it comes to the human traffic in illegal way, oh, is a huge problem at the Mediterranean Sea today between Italy, Malta and Libya has become a, one of the irregular migration routes frequently used in the transportation people from Africa and to the Europe. The migration who can cross the Mediterranean are rescued, set on the Europe, often comes to Italy. Italy refusing to open the ports for this irregular migrants, which we can completely understand that Italy is not the first or the only country in Europe doing this. Even here in Poland, we have an immigration crisis, I'm sorry, irregular migration crisis, back to 2020 or 21. Also in Greece, is keep going more than, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, which they make in a more brutal or extremal processes. Italy have to support the land of the Europe and also their own land. And Meloni is actually explain it to the European Union. If you like to share the bargain, okay, but European Union doesn't go for it. And she also, in her one speech, talk about it. What's the best of Italy come? First, at the European Union. Also, I like to talk about the NATO situation, which is a huge supporter of the Ukraine and a huge supporter of the NATO since the NATO began. She's making a great support of the Ukrainian defenses. We can see a lot of Italian missile guard systems in Ukraine. So far, she's sending a 5 package already to the Ukraine, which is also growing. But there is some recent issues, which I heard that there was a protest against the sending a weapon from the Italy to the Ukraine. And, well, we're going to see in the following days. And thank you for the question.
Thank you so much. I would say that this podcast is, for me at least, very interesting. And I am learning a lot from it. And so I would like now to go for our fourth and last questions of this podcast, which is, what is the likelihood that Meloni achieves the goal she has set? And if she does, what would their impact on the integrity of the European Union and NATO be? Please, Milana.
So basically, we should not forget that Meloni's approach toward domestic politics fits perfectly well with the far-right paradigm. But the problem is, Italy's public debt right now is more than 150% of the gross domestic product. And it's really huge. And we also should not forget about per capita GDP that hasn't been growing since 2000. And nearly a quarter of countries' youths are out of the work and not even at schools. We can see that the situation in the country right now is very, very sad. And in order to achieve stability, Giorgia Meloni needs to change the rhetoric of her campaign from migrants and LGBT to economic problems. To all that, the problem of Russian gas dependence should be fixed in the long run. There are a lot of challenges for her and her campaign, and she shouldn't forget that the sooner she will start achieving her goals, the more chances she has to save her place in the government. But let us not forget how populistic her party is. She just got elected, and most likely she is gonna deal with all the problems with a strong hand, even at the anger of Italy's crucial partners. Just like other far-right politicians in Europe, Meloni will propagate the idea of law and justice in her country. I mean, look, for example, the situation that happened with mafia boss a few weeks ago. He got arrested after 30 years of exile and an unwillingness of the left and centrist parties to tackle this issue. So we have got a strong stance toward migration, foreign policy and domestic security. Sounds familiar, isn't it? We could see this happening from Balkans to Sweden. Far-right parties follow the same paradigm. Consider the fact that in less than a month, they have been swooped up big chunks of popular votes. And because of that, there are some threats to traditional European values, which Italy could clash with Brussels about. The country's recovery and resilience plan, which Draghi negotiated with Brussels, could also become a new battleground. Importantly, because of the coalition's wish to change the plan, but also because of a lack of governing experience and differing priorities among coalition parties, investments and reforms under the current recovery plan are likely to face the delays. It requires Italy to proceed with reforms of its administration and justice system to access 200 billion of euros in United Nations funding. There is a thin line, because if Europe would be too strict and pushy and criticizing to the new Italian government, it could lead to resentment and strengthen the voices that favor a more confrontational approach and old-fashioned approach within the EU. Thank you.
At this point, I agree and disagree with my friends. That's true, the Meloni is using a lot of populist propagandas, for example, like anti-sex marriage or anti-abortions, that's true. But on the other hand, she's making a brilliant economic growing. Italian economy actually growing almost 4% after she's get elected, which is a huge success after the COVID time and also the Russian aggression time. Also, I have to talk about the unemployment rate is stable before the COVID eras. I have to remind you, the Italia is the famous of the tourism, and the tourism is one of the best income. In a COVID era, a lot of Italian citizens lost their job because tourism died. It's forbidden to go outside the country, sometimes even outside their home. And Italy lose this profit. And nowadays, thanks to Meloni, is returning back. And also, I have to talk about it. Inflation in Italy, almost the lowest in Europe. A lot of European countries having with aggressive inflation, but Italy only have an 8.7, which, in my idea, is a huge accomplishment. I think that's all. Thanks for the question.
Okay. So, thank you all. I would like to appreciate not only our brilliant speakers, but also our listeners for staying with us through all this time. I believe that not just me, but all of you have learned, not just a little, maybe a lot, like I did with this podcast, and had fun as well as we all had doing it. So, thank you very much, brilliant speakers. And see you next time.
Thank you so much for inviting. It was a pleasure of mine, and I hope we will see again soon.
Thank you for the listening, and thank you for the invitation. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Civitas On Air. We cover current and important political and social topics. Our work is produced by researchers and students from Collegium Civitas, together with Radio Palace. Please subscribe to our podcast by visiting your favourite streaming service, like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And do stay tuned for the next episode.